Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is our spring membership drive. We're going to get to that in a minute. But first, the night skies of April 2017 are filled with special events, and the daytime sky briefly in August will go dark. The stars will come out, as in a total eclipse of the sun, depending on where you're at. Ooh. Time to talk to the director of the Ohio Wesleyan University's Perkins Observatory, Tom Burns. Welcome back, Tom Burns.
It's pledge time, folks. I want you to reach inside your pocket and dig deep and help out this fine radio station, which gives you the news the way it's meant to be given, fair and balanced.
Thank you, Tom Burns. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It is our spring membership drive. Remember, listener support is the foundation of our budget. Please make your gift of support right now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. At $10 a month as a sustainer, our thank you gift to you will be four tickets to the Perkins Observatory. This is the perfect time to make your gift because Tom Burns from the Perkins Observatory and a great friend of WOSU Public Media is in the studio with me right now. You can get a family four-pack of tickets by making a gift to 89.7 NPR News right now. That's $10 a month withdrawn from your checking account or charged to your credit card. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. But as an added bonus for this hour, make that gift $15 a month and we'll add on four pairs of eclipse glasses for your use during the solar eclipse in August. You'll also get the four tickets to the observatory. So you'll be able to use the glasses in August to safely watch this amazing event. And then you can use the tickets to the observatory anytime. That's $15 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $180 at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And Tom Burns.
Value added. If you get the eclipse glasses, right, we'll also provide a handy dandy brochure that explains what eclipses are and why they happen, and about this particular eclipse, the timings, and some safety tips about using eclipse glasses and alternative methods for observing the eclipse that will not make you go blind or your money back.
Upside. So give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. And if you go online to WOSU.org to show your support for 89.7 NPR News, make sure you click on All Sides because Tom Burns might be wearing the eclipse glasses. And wow, I mean, no one wears eclipse glasses like Tom Burns wears eclipse glasses.
I'll tell you, so they make you look cool. They aren't, however, recommended for driving because you can't see anything through them except the incredibly bright sun.
They're groovily called eclipse shades at $15 a month. We add on four pairs of eclipse glasses and the brochures from the Perkins Observatory. Very informative. Lots of important stuff to talk about when it comes to the eclipse, and we're going to do that right now. If you have any questions about the eclipse, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. All right, so where, Tom Burns, are you going to be for the solar eclipse?
I am going to be in the Sawtooth State Forest near Stanley, Idaho, as a matter of fact.
I'll be in at the Kentucky Dam Village State Park in Gilbertsville, Kentucky, for the August 21 event. Both of these are along, what do you call them? I think of it as a trajectory where you can see the full eclipse.
It's sometimes called the eclipse path.
Okay.
That is, what's happening is that the shadow of the moon is sweeping across planet Earth. In this case, in a great path that's a 50, or depending on where you are, between 50 and 70 miles wide. It starts in the state of Washington when it hits ground in North America, and it sweeps through the middle of the United States and ends up on the East Coast in the Carolinas.
It starts in Washington because that's where the moon is coming from?
Well, that's...
Why does it start that way?
It's this alignment of the three objects. And if you think about it, you got your sun on one side and your Earth on the other and the moon in the middle. But good old planet Earth is spinning around, right? So what you're seeing is a combination of the motion of the moon, the sun, and the spinning of the Earth. And as the Earth, as all that happens, this shadow, which is essentially round or slightly oblong, is sweeping across the Earth as the Earth, as all these things move.
Is this
pretty
shadow
cool.
visible from space?
The shadow, yes, it is visible from space. And if you go on the internet, you can actually see images from satellites that show this dark splotch that is moving across the face of the Earth. So if they take an image of it, it's this kind of roundish shadow that is actually projected onto the Earth. It's
this
cool.
is really exciting. I have so many questions. If anybody else has questions out there, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513. I remember I was talking to Tom earlier, and I was thinking, when was this? I was just a little kid. I know most, you know, I'm old. I was just a little kid, though, and there was a partial eclipse back in the 60s, and that was a really big deal then. When's the last time there was a total eclipse of the sun like this that would be visible?
From Central Ohio,
from Central Ohio-ish.
Well, I actually used I'm sitting looking at one now, a piece of simulation software to figure out when the last eclipse, the total eclipse was in Central Ohio. And it was the year, it was 450 years ago.
Okay, so this is pretty rare, all right?
And this one won't be total. You're going to have to wait a long, long time. Until 2024, and that will be kind of the 450-some-year anniversary of an eclipse in Central Ohio. In 2024, the center line of a total eclipse, pretty good one too, will pass over Marion, Ohio.
All right.
And will be visible.
That's not that long away.
And will be visible from Perkins Observatory. Buy your tickets now. That'll be in July 2024.
Jeffrey in I can't seem to. Okay. Jeffrey in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi, Ann. Thanks so much. So August 21st happens to be my birthday.
Hey.
Happy birthday.
So celebrate by going toward the center line of the eclipse.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering, if you could recommend where I should go to make that day extra special into the eclipse. Thanks.
Any
this
ideas?
Is such a complicated question.
It
is just some people go convenience wise. You would want to go south, and the eclipse path passes through Tennessee and Kentucky.
Yeah.
I'm going out west because I looked at the climatological data for August 21st all along the path, and you're actually better off if you're on the east side of the Rocky Mountains. That's why I'm going to Idaho.
Okay.
And if you go to the west side, you face all of the bad weather that you get on that side of the Rocky Mountains. But again, the way to do this is to go on the internet or whatever and get yourself a map of the center line path, mm-hmm. and go to a place along that center line.
All you have to do is Google Eclipse 2017 and it'll take you. There's a whole website just devoted to this explicitly. And
if I may make a specific suggestion, are you into country music at all?
Mm-hmm.
Because the place to go, if you're into country music, is that the center line passes right through the city of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks so much for that recommendation.
Yeah, sounds like fun. Jeffrey, happy birthday. Have fun. You're listening to 89.7 NPR News, and I want to say thanks to Jamie Nelson and Adam Zollers in Columbus for your pledge of support. They write, WOSU is a part of our life every day. We love Ann Fisher. I love you, too. Thank you so much. Tom loves you, too.
Please call in, my friends, if for no other reason. Just recently, Ann had a real professional astronomer on.
Oh, pshaw.
And I think they were vetting him. So please call in.
He's
make it worth
insecure.
Their while to have Tom Burns on the air a couple of times
there
a year.
There is no replacement for Tom Burns. Don't you're kidding yourself. This is listener supported.
He was pretty good, though, I have
Paul
to
Sutter
admit.
Paul Sutter from COSI was excellent.
Excellent.
He's a great friend of WOSU. This is listener supported 89.7 NPR News. And all of you listening out right now, you're great friends of us as well. It's a special hour on all sides because our very good friend Tom Burns is in the studio with a special offer for listeners who call right now. And Tom Burns truly is a special friend of the station. He's been very generous on his own volition. He also, we always bring him in off pledge drive because it's, you know, then
As
we can just
fact,
devote a whole hour.
I would just
hour.
Like to say for the record, even though I don't need the eclipse classes, we have like 5,000 of them at the observatory. I am going to walk down that hall and I am going to sit there with one of those volunteers and I am going to re-up my membership as I always do when I'm
and
on
if
the
you're,
air.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tom's here right now. Also, we have volunteers. I say two walls away, just over across a hallway here, who are waiting for you to show your support right now. They've been waiting all morning. So give them something to do. 1-866-897.
I visited them. They're sitting around.
They're sitting
drinking
around.
Coffee.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, killing time. Help them kill time. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call, or you can go online to WOSU.org. When you go online to Google the 2017 solar eclipse, you can, go to WOSU.org. It'll only take 2 minutes. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call. And this is, I said, Tom Burns is with us in the studio. We have a special offer for listeners who call right now. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer, and we'll send you 4 passes to the Perkins Observatory. Become a sustaining member at $10 a month and get a great thank you gift that we're talking about for this hour only. Make that gift $15 a month, and we add 4 pairs of eclipse glasses plus accompanying brochures to make this the perfect Perkins package. Support all sides right now at either $10 a month or $15 a month. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678.
And I just like to mention that if you come to one of our programs at Perkins Observatory between now and August 21st. I'm going to be doing some special stuff on the eclipse, including some of the lore and legend from around the world about just how people reacted. Would you like a sample?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this is one that I might not do, depending on the age of the audience on any given night. But the Polynesian people believe, when a rare solar eclipse happens, that it is the sun and the moon making love. And when there's a totality, I think you can guess what that corona, that beautiful halo around the sun represents.
Mm-hmm.
It represents the birth of the stars.
Wow.
So, to the Polynesians, eclipses are the sun and the moon making love and giving birth to the stars. Isn't that lovely?
That is lovely because when the sun is eclipsed by the moon, what happens?
The stars come out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I hadn't really thought about that until we talked earlier, that even as at night when there's an eclipse of the moon, the stars come out. During the day.
That's right.
It's a
and
night
the moon
sky.
Really does have a big effect on the star. We call it the street light in the sky.
Yeah.
But you can still see some stars when the moon out, but the moon really does, the full moon especially, wipes out a lot of the stars. And of course, the corona of the sun, depending on how good the corona is for any given eclipse, can be as bright as the moon. But still, it is a marvelous, if you can get to this eclipse path, it is a marvelous event to see birds going to roost, the wind kicking up. We were on the ocean for my only other total eclipse, and you swear you can see this shadow as a dark wall crashing at you at 1,500 miles an hour across the water. But most of all, if you can find the corona of the sun, that sun's outer atmosphere has been described as the most beautiful sight that human beings can behold. And at my last eclipse, I mean, I was there. We were on a boat, basically.
Wow.
The cruise ship. And there, all around me were professional astronomers, and they had their equipment set up, and they were photographing, and they were taking spectra and all of that. But I glanced away for just a moment from this event. You know, this event only lasts 2.5 minutes in this case, so you don't look away from it. But I looked away, and I looked at the professional astronomer standing next to me, and the equipment he wasn't paying attention to, and there were tears rolling down his cheek. And if you can do that to a professional who just paid a lot of money for that equipment and to do scientific research, then there must be something to this, my friends.
We're talking about the total eclipse of the sun. My guest is Tom Burns, director of the Ohio Wesleyan University's Perkins Observatory. If you have a question for Tom Burns, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org or check out Facebook. I think Facebook Live, we have Facebook Live on right now, and post your question or your comment there. Check us out on Facebook and see Tom Burns in the flesh. Maybe catch him
oh no. It sounds so disgusting.
Yeah, I know.
And it is, in fact. That's right.
Maybe catch him with some eclipse shades on as well and see what, at the $15 a month pledge level, we are sending you 4 pairs of eclipse glasses to make this the perfect Perkins package, because it also includes 4 passes to the Perkins Observatory. You can go there in advance, learn about the eclipse, get ready for it, ask a million questions, and learn about, you know, Tom just described one of the legends of the eclipse from the Polynesians. Support All Sides right now at either $10 a month or $15 a month. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. I feel sorry for people who aren't listening right now because it's membership, you know, because it's our membership drive, because they're missing this great conversation with Tom Burns.
They aren't listening? Listen,
I'm
going
don't.
To be stopping. We know who you are,
yeah,
through the secret radio transmission effect, and I'm going to be stopping at everybody's house who isn't listening to me and knocking
on your
door.
Was that a threat or a promise? I'm sure people would want you to, but they won't know because they're not listening. But if you are, show your support. Tell us that these are things that matter to you, that these are conversations that matter to you. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Now, let me get back to my questions. There's a really big issue. I'd never thought about it before. If you wear glasses like I do, like mm-hmm. Tom does, it matters where you put your eclipse shades, whether they're under the glasses or over the glasses. So, Tom, first of all, tell us the right way to do it and then tell us why it's the right way so there's no confusion.
I'd just like to say for the record that we include this information in the brochure that
okay.
we're creating. And if you call Amazon.com, they won't know the answer
okay.
to it. It's really, really important to wear your eclipse glasses over your regular glasses. If you wear them under your regular glasses, you must consider
yeah.
exactly what your glasses are made out of. They are 2 lenses, right? And lenses bring stuff to a focus. So that if you put them under the glasses, you are to some degree concentrating the light from the sun.
Like a prism.
On, like a prism or like a lens or
okay.
like a magnifying glass on the eclipse glasses, which will make them hot. And since they are made of plastic, will melt them. So this
I'm
is
melting.
A good way. Hey, I have an idea. Let's go blind by putting our eclipse glasses
put
underneath
eclipse
our glasses. You put them
over
top. And I have to tell you, Here's another thing about the eclipse glasses. Anne is wearing them right now, and she looks about as cool as a human being can be. Snap your fingers. There we go.
Okay. So check it out on Facebook Live and post your questions or comments for Tom Burns. I'm getting kind of dizzy talking on doing this without being able to see.
Well, the point is
you can't see.
Put them on. How many fingers am I holding up?
Two.
I don't know because you can't. Two. She was wrong. It's okay. Four. Why? Because another thing I'd like to say to you, just because we call these things glasses or shades doesn't mean that your regular sunglasses, even if you wear 12 pairs of them, will work.
You
can't see anything through these things.
Unless you look right at a light.
But the sun. So.
Well, you can see these lights. I can see these lights in the
You think
studio.
You can. No. I mean, they're really designed to show only very bright things like the sun. You won't be able to see through them in a regular way. They are not recommended for driving, and so they aren't anything like your sunglasses or any other weird. You wouldn't believe the kind of calls we get. Can I observe the sun reflected in a can of motor oil? They will, because somebody once noticed that they could see the sun reflected in some dirty motor oil.
But there are other ways to see the eclipse without having these glasses. You just cannot.
That
none of them involve actually looking at the sun, though.
That's correct,
okay.
Yes. Most of them are inferior because they produce a tiny image of the sun.
But
you can observe the sun as seen on the ground through the leaves of trees, for instance. We'll show you little crescent suns during the partial eclipse that we're going to get here. And I've actually made when you were a kid, did you ever make those boxes that you put on your head? You make a little pinhole and you observe the sun projected in front of you on a piece of white cardboard. People often do this with a box, but you can do it with just two pieces of cardboard and a pinhole in one of them. And we have plans for all those kinds of devices and also some suggestions if you have a telescope. This is really dangerous, but you can use the telescope to project the sun.
Okay.
I don't recommend it, especially if you're going to have people around, especially kids, because I actually did this down at a certain science museum downtown. And we put up stanchions and everything to keep people from getting too close to the telescope. But I used the telescope to project an image about as big as your head onto a piece of white cardboard. And there was a very nice woman who broke through the stanchions and went running toward the telescope to look through the eyepiece, which would have made her instantly blind in that eye. And I literally had to tack. I'm so sorry. Guess what?
He ignored our sign to turn off your phone.
It's cognitive dissonance. Jeez. There's so much to see. So I had to tackle her.
Yeah. Wow.
And afterwards, when I told her,
what was she thinking?
Every 30 seconds, I was saying, this telescope is not meant to be looked through, but she just kind of wandered in. And afterwards, she thanked me because she was already blind in the other eye.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, folks, you know, this is the kind of thing, if you're going to do that, get yourself a trained professional, somebody with eclipse observing experience. Don't do it yourself.
Thank you to Gary Bros in Grove City for your pledge of support. Also, thanks to Lauren Bonfield in Columbus for your show of support for 89.7 NPR News and WOSU Public Media. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It is our spring membership drive, and our goal today is simple: to get your support. All Sides brings you conversations with interesting people in our community, people like Tom Burns. But we can only continue the conversation with listener support. So go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. For $10 as a sustainer, if that fits into your budget, that's a $10 monthly sustainer membership. you can get 4 passes to the observatory. And if $15 a month works for you, get those passes and 4 pairs of eclipse glasses with brochures and instructions and other ways to see the eclipse. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. If that's like basically 50 cents a day, if WOSU, if 89.7 NPR News, if All Sides with Ann Fisher is worth 50 cents a day, then you're telling us that this matters to you and it's valuable. It's valuable to us to know that we're valuable to you because we're here for you. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Now, there are a lot
of... Can I say something, personal note?
Yes.
Please, please support this radio station and please, please support Ann Fisher and her efforts. I mean, I think of the way it used to be for me when I wanted to tell a bunch of people about astronomy. I used to have to stop them on the street and say, psst, hey, buddy, come here. You want to hear about Jupiter? But now she gives me this magnificent opportunity to tell you the wonder and majesty of the universe. And oh, yes, you might find out a little bit about current events, which she's very good at. And I notice about gardening. The hour before this
History gardening.
Come on, folks.
The stars.
Where else are you going to get this at this length and with such enthusiasm and balance? Come on, dig deep, reach down into your pocket, grab that credit card, go online, or better yet, call the volunteers and let them know not just that you appreciate what this radio station does, but what they are doing, those volunteers who are sitting
alone
and forlorn on the telescope.
Brighten
hoping,
their day.
Praying, weeping because nobody is calling.
Yes. This is how they show their support. They come in and they volunteer. There's all kinds of people over there. They're waiting for you to call right now. 1-866-897-9678. And thank you for your support. Tom Burns, there is a bunch of stuff going on in the night sky in April.
Oh, yeah.
There is
always
a meteor shower coming up
later
in April.
There is a meteor shower. I can't remember which one it is.
It is I actually wrote the Lyrid.
The Lyrids. Actually, the Lyrids are a pretty good meteor shower. Okay. As with all meteor showers,
April 22nd, yeah.
There are two issues on the 22nd. Is there a moon in the sky? Look it up. I don't know.
Okay.
And if that moon is, especially after midnight, it's going to wipe out a lot of the Lyrids.
Yeah.
The Lyrids have pretty decent frequency, but they aren't very bright. So, but secondly, as always, you want to observe meteors after local midnight.
Why?
When Earth turns into the direction of its orbit. Think of why meteors are happening.
I don't ever understand it.
Well, here it is. Earth is whizzing through space, right, in its orbit around the sun. And it's running into these clouds of particulate matter that were left freed up from a comet as it passed along its path. And Earth is plowing right into that stream. Here's the thing. It's not the meteors hitting the Earth. It's Earth hitting the meteors. Now, you've all had this experience with, you know, you're driving along and a big old bug hits your windshield.
Ah.
Well, when you're driving, when you're in the driver's seat going forward into the stream, then you're going to get a lot of bugs on your on the windshield.
Uh-huh.
But if you're in the back seat looking backward, how many bugs are you going to see hitting the windshield?
Okay.
Not too many. So what you're doing is waiting for Earth to turn into the direction of its orbit, and that doesn't happen until after local midnight.
Okay.
Now, in this case, since we're in daylight savings time and we're about halfway into the time zone, local midnight, same goes for local noon, local midnight is not midnight. It is 1:35 a.m. or something like that. Now, in April, that's not too bad. So you will get a few hours of observing. And by the way, you'll see the most meteors when you're most turned into the direction of the orbit. And that will be right around that last hour in before morning twilight.
So you're if there's not
four
a moon.
In the morning, you know,
if
four
there's
to five
not
in
a
the
moon.
Morning.
So check if out there's if there's a moon.
But if there's a moon, you might see a few anyway, but it's hardly worth staying up until, you know, staying up all night if there's a
April's,
moon in the sky.
April's full moon is coming up next week, so I don't think there will be a full
That's
moon
right.
that night
because okay,
it's the they call it the pink moon. Why is that?
I have no idea. Sorry. Well, let me look that up.
Gosh, I've never. Well, I
well,
read
you
about
know, what it.
What
it might be.
It's
is,
because it's during the flowers are pink.
Yeah,
there's like
that
a phlox that blooms at that
okay,
time of year.
Good. I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, I never heard of it before. I
specialized horticultural.
I prepped
knowledge.
For this show, you know, Tom.
There you go.
Some other big deals. Saturn and Jupiter are migrating.
Yep.
In the evening skies.
Yeah.
Jupiter's supposed to be at its best on April 7th. What are we going to see?
Well, what you see, and, you know, they say Jupiter's at its best, it's April 7th, but it doesn't get much closer or
That's
farther away yeah. over the entire period that it's visible. So first chance you get, I would say after 11 o'clock to let it get up good and high, get out the old binoculars and go out and look at the planet Jupiter. And Jupiter will still look like a point of light, even though the dang thing is 90,000 miles wide. It's very far away right now. It's always far away. So the point is that when you're looking at this thing, you're going to see a point of light for Jupiter. But there, lined up around the planet, will be three or four little dots. And you are seeing some of the four brightest moons of Jupiter called the Galilean moons because they were discovered by...
Galileo.
Hey, and you thought astronomy was hard, didn't you? Well, it isn't. And this was maybe the first thing I ever did besides look at the craters of the moon with my old man's pair of flip-open opera glasses. I saw a couple of those moons. They were really lousy opera glasses, too. $3, plastic lens. But I could still see two of the four bright moons of Jupiter. And essentially, it changed my life. Because I was, you know, you see the craters on the moon and, yeah, craters. But there you are, some 10-year-old seeing the moons of Jupiter. Lordy, I felt like I had really done something. And I've been doing it ever since.
Saturn.
Yes.
Rings,
no extra charge.
Yeah.
Now, Jupiter is in Virgo, so it's up pretty early because Virgo is a spring constellation. Saturn is in the constellation Sagittarius, which is a summer constellation. So Jupiter will rise, dum-de-dum, look at Jupiter, go inside, take a nap, and then go back out at about 4 a.m. Yeah. And then Saturn will be rising in the east in the constellation Sagittarius. Jupiter will be over in the southwest. Saturn will be over in the southeast. And Jupiter is easy because it's so bright. Third brightest thing in the nighttime sky. Saturn is not quite so bright, but you can't miss it because it's still brighter than any of the stars in Sagittarius. So look for that yellow, kind of yellowish point of light. And here, binoculars will not help you. Because Saturn is really far away. It's approaching a billion miles away right now. So even though those rings span the distance between Earth and the moon, about a quarter of a million miles, you're going to need a small telescope. But even a small telescope will show those fabulous rings.
We have
also discovered by Galileo, although he did not see them as rings. Okay. Fascinating story. So Galileo is looking at Saturn, and he sees these two lumps on the side of Saturn. He calls them ears. He also called them Saturn's children, because, of course, you got to know the old story about Saturn. He was Kronos to the Greeks. And
he had twins?
And so He ate his children,
oh,
basically.
Yum. Okay, got it.
You know, Zeus.
Yeah.
He didn't want his children to take over. He was a Titan. He didn't want the gods, his children, to take over the sky. So 2 years later, because Saturn's rings actually change their tilt depending on where they are with respect to us in their orbit, he managed to catch Saturn when the rings weren't there. They were edge-on to us. And so he wrote in his journal, Saturn has eaten his children, and which is exactly according to the myth. And, of course, he didn't believe that Saturn was actually a Titan. But that's exactly what happened. And I've actually had that experience. Yeah. That is, we've got a big old telescope, and we show Saturn every chance we get, which, by the way, it'll be in the evening sky in summer. Come to one of our summer programs if you want to see Saturn.
Yeah.
But every, what is it, 17 years, it's 11 years. Every 11 years, Saturn's rings are edge on, which means you can't see them. So, you know, you invite all these Cub Scouts groups to come up to Perkins, and we once almost had a riot of Cub Scouts because we were going to show them Saturn.
Oh, boy.
And the rings weren't there. I said, but look at all the moons you can see
because the rings
are so bright. And they weren't buying it at all, you know.
You got to be careful.
One of them comes up, looks through the telescope, and he says, Jip.
You got to be careful when you make promises.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I didn't promise.
But I promise our listeners that I will work every single day to bring you the best programming that we possibly can on All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks to Emily O'Hara in Columbus for your pledge of support. Perhaps you listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher all the time. If you do, then you know that we work hard to bring you a diverse range of topics from news of the day to long-term trends. You're going to hear about it on this show. All Sides spends time with you with each and every guest. Our interviews are 20 minutes, 40 minutes. Often they span the entire hour. These in-depth discussions are something that only happens on public radio. To support local programming that is truly local, go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. If you can make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer, we'll send you 4 passes to the Perkins Observatory. It's open pretty much almost year-round. You have to go and check your schedule and make a reservation, but 4 passes to the Perkins Observatory. Become a sustaining member at $15 a month, and we'll add 4 pairs of eclipse glasses to make this the perfect Perkins package.
Hey,
support All Sides right now.
No extra charge.
Thanks to
friends.
Tia Peon in Columbus for your pledge of support. We have about 17 minutes left in the hour, and I want to get 10 more pledges at whatever level you can afford. 1-866-897-9678. If you can't manage $10 a month or $15 a month, maybe $5 a month will fit into your budget. Whatever it is, it matters to us for you to show your support, to tell us this is something that you value, that you depend on every day. We know it's true. Now we need to have you show it. 1-866-897-9678. So we're looking, we got about 16 minutes left to go and looking for 10 pledges of support. Join your WOSU, your 89.7 listening brethren who have already shown their support, and make that call right now or go to WOSU.org. Thanks to Duran Duschel in Sunbury for your show of support. Just 9 to go now. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. I want to talk to Tom Burns. We've got Tom Burns, a director of the Ohio Wesleyan University's Perkins Observatory with us this hour. And I have lots of questions for him. And I, as usual, I'm not getting to half of what I was going to because he's just brings up his own stuff and I kind of count on that. I never know what he's going to say. 1-866-897-9678, though. Maybe you remember, Tom, from when you were a kid in the fourth grade and you visited Perkins Observatory. Tom still does those programs. He gives back every single day of his life almost to help this community, help Central Ohio understand more about the stars above us. So show him that you care about the things that he does as well. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And thank you.
I've been doing this so long
that
I have handouts that I took to schools that are mimeograph blue.
Ooh.
How about that?
Do they still have that distinctive aroma?
Yes, they do. No, not anymore. That was the greatest, though. I have to tell you.
That was my cheap way of getting high
when I was in my youth. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people listening are too young to know that, but trust us, I'm sure he's got a collector's edition of the same little brochure you saw from when you were in grade school. 1-866-897-9678.
Old grandpa's willing to come to your school and talk about the eclipse.
I have an email from Greg. He says, I remember seeing the partial eclipse that happened in the early 90s.
That's right.
It was bizarre, to say the least.
Ooh.
Also, I recall visiting the observatory at Ohio State when I was a kid about 35 years ago. Do you know what they did with the equipment since light pollution has probably made this observatory obsolete? Is it still there?
It's still there. That's right. The old Tinsley telescope. They moved the planetarium to a bigger, larger planetarium. But so far as I know, that old 10-inch Tinsley is still up there on the roof of Smith Lab.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure they still do programs with it. You can do a few things from inside Columbus. You can look at the bright planets, things like that. So I don't know that they're still doing those programs, though.
Somebody
call in if you know.
Thank you to Susanna Wollman in New Albany for your pledge of support. Just 8 calls to go now in just about 13 minutes. 8 calls in 13 minutes. I know we can do it. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. Remember, there's real live Central Ohioans waiting to take your call. They can tell you about our different thank you gifts and explain everything to you. But remember, when you get if you go with the $15 a month, you get the 4 passes to Perkins Observatory, and you also get the eclipse glasses. They'll come with a brochure to explain how to use them and other tips on getting the most out of the solar eclipse coming up on August 21st.
My promise that if you have any questions at all about safety or why eclipses happen or lore and legend or anything having to do with eclipses, that I'll be there sleeping by the phone, waiting for you to call to answer those questions. Value added, my friends.
That's commitment.
You're not going to get that if you buy your eclipse shades from Amazon.com.
1-866-897-9678 is the number to call to show your support. Speaking of observatories, there's going to be a new observatory. Tell us about what's planned with the John Glenn Observatory and Astronomy Park.
Oh, well, thank you for asking that, because one of my good buddies in the Columbus Astronomical Society is one of its leading members and organizers.
Uh-huh.
They are building a public observatory down there.
I gather that the Ohio
State astronomers are going to do some research down there, though. But its primary purpose down in the Hocking Hills.
Oh, it's not?
Its primary purpose is to do public astronomy. And it is every amateur astronomer's dream to not just to have a place where they can go not too far from, in this case, Columbus, to be able to set up their telescope or even leave their telescope and get dark skies. But it has always been my dream to have just that really beautiful, pristine dark sky where we can take people down
and
show them what
up,
their universe looks like.
And I think it's 1,500. What is it?
It's up relatively high. Yes.
Yeah, it's up relatively high. And they didn't name it casually. John Glenn gave his permission for them to name it before he passed in December. So he knew about this and thought it was a great idea.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Yes. You'll see me down there once in a while if you come down to the public programs, although it'll be hard to pry me away from Perkins even after I retire.
You and I have not talked about all those planets that they discovered, the habitable or whatever they call them planets. Around,
oh, yeah, right.
Yeah,
in the Goldilocks zone, yes. This planet is too hot.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yeah, it's not just...
It's pretty cool, though.
It's just not that they're in the habitable zone. They are... They call them super-Earths. They aren't quite yet able to see planets the size and mass of Earth, but they can see them a little bit bigger than Earth. And what they're doing, because the equipment has improved and the methods of analysis have improved, I mean, nice to have the Kepler Space Telescope for this purpose, is they're able to detect... Earth-sized planets, and they are finding plenty of them. One star in particular, can't remember the name, they discovered five of them orbiting in the Goldilocks zone. And this is pretty impressive. I mean, it's only one of the several hundred kind of criteria that you have to meet to produce life, but it's a step in the right direction. That's the thing. There's this famous equation called the Drake equation, and it lists all of these characteristics. You have to have a fairly stable star. You have, you know, that doesn't get really bright and hot once in a while. You have to have an Earth-like planet in the sense that it has to be the right distance. The star has to be the right temperature compared to the distance. You have to have some liquid like water, et cetera, down the line. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of these. And we fulfilled a couple of those criteria. So, you know, it's only a step in the right direction, certainly, but even one step in the right direction is fantastic. And what it means is, you know what it means, astronomers are going to want from you, taxpayers, bigger and more expensive telescopes so that they can do things like zero in on one of those planets and actually analyze its atmosphere, if any. And find out what that atmosphere is composed of. Now, they can do that to some degree now with the equipment they have available. But as the equipment improves, they'll be able to do even that.
Thank you to Tara Myatt in Columbus for your pledge of support. Just seven more calls to go and about 9 minutes left. I know we can, well, 8 minutes left now. I know we can do it. We can get those seven calls and meet this now 8.5 minute goal. Thanks to Judy Edwards in Granville for your show of support. Now only seven calls to go and 8 minutes left. Only six calls to left. I can't read anymore. Only six calls to go, for the hour, but I know we can do much better than that. Give us a call right now, 1-866-897-9678, and show your support for 89.7 NPR News and the conversations that we have every day on All Sides with Ann Fisher. Remember, it is listener-supported, 89.7 NPR News. We need your help. We appreciate your financial support, and we also need the moral support. There's a lot of work to do in the days ahead, and we're willing and able to do it. We need your help, and we need to know that you care. 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. And remember, at the $10 a month sustainer level, we'll send you four passes to the Perkins Observatory. You get to see Tom Burns, my guest this hour, in action, live and in action. You can become a sustaining member at $10 a month. You get a great thank you gift. We're talking about it for this hour only. Or make that gift $15 a month, and we'll add four pairs of eclipse glasses to make this the perfect Perkins package. Support All Sides right now, $10 a month or $15 a month. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. You know, if 89.7 NPR News is dedicated to bringing you in-depth local news, we have our award-winning news team and we have this show, a two-hour locally produced, locally focused talk show. This programming is only possible with listener support. You hear in-depth features on the issues that impact your life in Central Ohio from our news department, and you hear conversations on the topics that matter to you when you listen to All Sides. We bring you interviews with newsmakers across the country and in your own backyard. Support the programming that keeps you connected. Go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. That's 1-866-897-9678.
Ponder the perfect Perkins package and pay promptly.
Oh, my God. Gosh.
Sorry, I just I couldn't help myself.
He's also
I alliterate, therefore I am.
Hey, before we go, I mean, I don't want to run out of time before we talk about this ongoing dispute about the definition of a planet.
Yes.
I thought we shut the book on this.
That's never going to go away because I still have people coming up to me and say, hey, what are you doing taking away one of my planets?
Well, Pluto.
The fact is, the way astronomers defined planet when they made this decision, what was it, back in 2006?
Yeah.
It wasn't so much by size or anything like that. It was by whether it had cleared out its orbit. And this sounded weird to people, but it made perfect
sense.
Cleared out its orbit. So here's the deal. What you had were these little ice dwarfs about the size of Pluto, and there were a whole bunch of them, right? And a lot of them slammed together to make larger objects, which then began to collect material out of the solar nebula, this kind of spinning discus of junk. And so those protoplanets essentially slammed together and then cleared out their orbit of other protoplanets and other stuff. So what you're saying when you separate out dwarf planets like Pluto is that many of them were there. They were the fundamental basis that made the other planets. So you separate them out, it seems to demote them, but what it's saying is that they're the precursors to the planets. And this strikes me as a really good division. Now, there are some geologists who want to define it differently. They want to define them in terms of size and what they're made out of and things like that, which would make anything that's orbiting the sun of any size that happens to be spherical a planet, and they want to include things like the moon, which does orbit the sun, and Triton, moon of Neptune, as planets as well, and okay, you know, define planet any way you want to, but the current division is an exact way of saying how the kind of the planets formed in the first place. So it's really that weird thing about clearing out their orbits is really a good thing because it tells you that a planet is something that cleared out its orbit and became a planet, and something like Pluto was there long before the planets and it didn't get cleared out.
Thank you to Nancy Jane in Columbus for your show of support. We have 2 minutes left to go and five calls. Be one of the five. 1-866.
Come on, wear those volunteers out.
Wear the volunteers out. 1-866-897-9678. Thanks to William Hernan in Centerburg for your support. William writes, I love Ann Fisher. I love you too. Thank you.
She's very lovable.
That's just like, oh my God.
Although
thank you
were
so much.
A pretty hard hitting reporter in your day.
In my
so
day.
I'm told.
1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Thanks to Nancy and William for your support. Now, I guess this means we need two more or three more calls. And we have just 1.5 minutes to go. 1-866-897-9678. I have to take this bittersweet
moment to say, I'm going to have to take this into my own
hands. I have to thank Tom Burns. Thank you, Tom Burns, for joining us as always.
Always, yes.
Tom Burns, director of He's director of the Ohio Wesleyan University's Perkins Observatory. This is listener supported. WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus. Listener supported. We need your help. We need your support. And we're on online at WOSU.org. We're a service of WOSU Public Media, 89.7 NPR News. We're global. We're local. We're extra. What would it be if we said spacey-wise? We're spatial.
we're universal.
We're universal. We're extraterrestrial.
We're
global. We're loctic. We're intergalactic. We're galactic. Whatever. 1-866-897-9678. Thanks
and
to Linda Carter.
Multidimensional. I'm sorry.
Linda Carter all the way
Toledo.
I knew people in Toledo were listening. Thanks, Linda Carter in Toledo, for your support. Thanks to everybody who shows their support from around the state, whether you're watching on television, watching online, however you digest All Sides with Ann Fisher. Thank you so much for listening. Once again, WOSU.org, or call 1-866-897-9678. Just two more to go. And thank you for listening.